Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, one of the things that God's people have forgotten is how to tell the truth to one another. Australian theologian Herman Sasse once said, "The lie is the death of man, his temporal and his eternal death." Indeed, it was a lie that led to our first ancestor's death, a lie spoken by the serpent about the very word of God. Did God really say? And it's interesting how these two things, death and the lie, have come together in our experiences as 21st century Americans. Because when it comes to death and dying, we seem to be perfectly comfortable lying to ourselves and to one another. I remember a couple of years ago, we were sitting around the dinner table, and our oldest asked once, "Daddy, will I die someday?" And I said, "Well, yes, someday you will." And that's a hard thing to say to a three-year-old at the time. And immediately, I felt compelled to lie to her. I wanted to say, "But don't worry, it's not going to be for a really, really long time." Of course, I certainly hope that's the case, but I don't actually know that. The language in our culture also seems to reflect an attitude which talks about death as though it can be somehow avoided. And we use sort of half-truths to get at this. So when a terminal illness is incredibly cured, what's the language we use? We beat death. Or we won the battle with whatever illness it is. But we know the truth. We know the truth that all we've done is delayed death for a little bit longer. Some people place unreal expectations upon the medical industry and even doctors to save our lives, and then they even blame them when they discover that doctors are mere mortals after all, not the gods that they expected them to be. And it seems like the biggest lie we tell ourselves is that we will somehow get out of this life alive. We act as if God didn't mean it when he said, "Dust you are, and to dust you will return." So, dear friends, allow me to tell you the truth tonight, and allow me to speak it bluntly. Unless Christ returns in glory first, you will die. One day you will draw your final breath. One day your heart will cease to pulse blood through your veins. Your body will begin to decay. Ashes, dust, worm food. Indeed, we can already see and hear this dusty groaning of this creation as it decays. Even now, we see the dusty groaning in our own aging bodies. We see the dusty groaning and the ash and the rubble that piles up in the war that wreaks havoc all over the world and leaves a trail of death in its wake. We see the dust in the crumbling relationships around us. We see the dust in the blackness of our own hearts. And ultimately, that groaning, that will claim all of us in the most real and terrible way. We will die. And it's not just an unfortunate accident. It's not some inconvenient doorway that we all just kind of have to go through. It's not the last and greatest adventure. It isn't just an illusion that we came up with. I don't know if you ever saw the movie from the 90s, Forrest Gump. You remember his mother as she's lying on her deathbed. She says in a wonderful Southern Alabama accent that makes you want to believe her, "Dying is just a part of life." She lied. Dying is not a part of life. Indeed, it's quite the opposite. It is real. It is terrible. And to top off the blunt honesty, let me add this. It's your fault. You are sinful. And the wages of your sin is your death. Of course, that's often just one more thing that we like to deceive ourselves about, right? We try to sweep up the dust under the rug. We try to dress it up nice and ignore it, even when it's staring us in the face. You can hear the denial of the dust in trite things spoken at funerals. Like, you know, Bob always helped anyone who ever needed help. Or Carla never spoke ill of anyone her entire life. There wasn't a mean bone in her body. Well, everybody knows it's not true. And yet we feel perfectly fine, somehow comforting ourselves with these lies. After all, it would be rude and uncomfortable to talk about Bob or Carla's sin. And so with many sayings and sentimental hope, we try to alleviate the reality of sin so that we can alleviate the reality of sin's consequence, which is death. We will go to great lengths to say half-truths in order to avoid facing the reality of our sin and our death. But you see, the reverse actually begins to happen. The more we speak lies in the face of death, the more we end up lying ourselves right into hopelessness. For if you ignore the truth about sin and death, then you also diminish the incredible hope-giving word that God gives in the face of your sin and your death. And what is that word? Well, you heard it in the words of the prophet Joel that I read a few minutes ago. God declares, "Return to me with all of your heart." All of your heart. Not just the things that you think are nice and cleaned up, the things that you think God wants to see. No, return to me with all of your heart, sin and wretchedness and all. Rend your hearts, Joel says. Rip them to repentant shreds. Take your sin seriously and see your heart for the filthy rags that it is. See the death that your sin deserves. Call it what it is. Confess that you are dust, and to dust you will return. Why? Not to beat yourself up. Not to live in unending guilt. Not to sustain some kind of shame. No, God says, return to me because I am gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Return to me, for I have what is good for you. Like a long-suffering father awaiting his wayward child, like a faithful bridegroom pursuing his unfaithful harlot of a bride, God firmly holds fast to you, even in the face of your wretched sin and your dreadful death. And that is, after all, what Lent is about. Wretched sin and dreadful death, two things which come together in the most uncomfortable way in Christ as he hangs on a cross. He who knew no sin takes all of your wretchedness upon himself, and it kills him. He endures a dreadful death for you. And often we look at Christ on that cross and we are tempted to try and alleviate that reality. We see suffering and pain and we wish that it could be some other way. So we try to look past the cross or around it or through it to try to find the bright side in all of it, but we won't find it. Rather, we look right at the cross and its crucified occupant. For there you see the incredible work of God to redeem and save and forgive even dusty creatures like us. Luther once said this. He said, "Learn Christ and him crucified. Learn to praise him and, despairing of yourself, say, 'Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness, just as I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine and have given to me what is yours. You have taken upon yourself what you were not and have given to me what I was not.'" You see, God comes to you and he says, "Return to me with all of your heart, sin and all. Rend your heart and let its wretched contents spill out at the feet of your Lord. For he is the one who can actually forgive you. bring to me your loveless heart, for I give you compassion. Bring to me your shame, for I give you peace. Bring to me your death-dealing sin, for I give you life. Bring to me your ragged heart, for I give you Christ. His beauty for your ashes, his righteousness for your wretchedness. That is the glorious exchange that happens to you on the cross of Jesus. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You will die, and it's your fault. But you will not remain lifeless dust. You will rise again, and that is God's fault. That is God's gift. The lie is certainly the death of us, but the truth is our life. And so let us not lie to one another about our death. Let's not shy away from the ugly reality of sin and death. Indeed, let us speak the truth boldly and fearlessly about death. For we have been given a word of truth that is more firm than anything we could create ourselves, a truth that denies death to his face. And that truth is this. Is death real? Yes. Is it terrible? Yes. Does it have the last word? In Christ, our answer is boldly, truthfully, most certainly, no. For Christ has died, Christ has risen, and when he comes again in glory, your dusty remains will live again. And so we pray all throughout Lent, in repentant faith,